This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Alrighty, coming to you live for the Quicken Loans Studios. National mortgage lender Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. First day of the NCAA tournament's off and running. Teak and I all over it here on a Thursday. 3 hours every single day nationwide, coast to coast. Of course, on the radio side, all you great affiliates that have been with us for so long and are so loyal. And, of course, more recently, Sirius Channel 213 and Channel 201 XM. If you're not by your affiliate, if you're out of town, going to visit somebody, traveling, vacation, whatever, you can still keep up with Tiki and Tierney and all the shows here at CBS Sports Radio, which is great. And, of course, simulcast on CBS Sports Network. So, nice 3 hours. I thought TV was starting to forget about us. I thought we were getting a pinch. Last couple of weeks, they're slicing off a little time here and
two
there.
2 or 3 days dark. But we know college basketball takes precedence at this time of
year.
Yeah,
they do a great job. Inside College Hoops and all the shows, the wraparound shows, they're on it. And we just had Gary Parrish on in the second hour. He was money. And Teak, now we'll mix it up, do a little football. Still a lot to react to. Brady Quinn, CBSSports.com, football analyst that we've had Brady on before. Brady, what's happening, buddy? Tiki and Tierney, how are you today?
I'm doing great, guys. Thanks for having me on. I got to admit, lost the first game. I picked Oklahoma.
So did I.
Yep, Rhode Island won, so great. Can't have a perfect bracket. Yeah. Ruined the whole tournament.
Well, you're not busted yet, because I'm sure you didn't have them going to the Final Four.
No, just as long as you pick... Hey, Brady, just as long as you pick Notre Dame and the NIT, it's all good.
The fact that they didn't make the tournament, I don't even want to get into that whole conversation. But yeah, I'm just hoping they win the NIT.
Hey, it's a conspiracy. It's a conspiracy, right? I don't know what the conspiracy is for Notre Dame. I know what it is for USC and Louisville, but I don't know what it is for Notre Dame.
Well, look, their two best players were hurt the whole year.
Yeah, I know.
They're a good team, but both Bondi Colson and Matt Farrell were healthy.
No doubt.
So, it's true.
No doubt.
I don't want to get into that.
Yeah, you're right. Well, let's get into some football real quick. Now, I know you call college sports, and I can't remember if you were calling sports when AJ – or calling the college games when AJ was at Alabama. But we just saw his deal with the Buffalo Bills. It's 2 years, $10 million. It's not a huge commitment to him. He's probably he's on a prove-it deal, basically. What can we expect from him as a starter? Because we haven't seen this yet from A.J. McCarron.
We haven't seen it since 2015. That's the last time we saw him, where he had three starts and played all right in that playoff game and had maybe things not gone differently down the stretch. He maybe would have won that game.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, because of the things that went on between the Steelers and the Cincinnati Bengals and the fight back and forth, I guess we'll never know. Bottom line is, there's a reason why he signed a more economical deal. Had a lot to do with the fact that there really wasn't a market for him. And at the end of the day, when you're looking at what AJ McCarron possesses as a quarterback, I don't know that he's been able to prove that he's gotten that much better, or that he's that much better of a prospect than some of the quarterbacks they've gotten this year's draft and some of the other free agent quarterbacks that were on the market. I mean, one common denominator was, a lot of the guys that got signed, they all had experience.
Yeah,
that was one of the reasons why the Browns got Tyrod and the Jets signed back Josh McCown. And then you're looking at Sam Bradford and why that makes any sense. But they're all experienced guys, and they're guys who can go in and play football if they can stay healthy and play at a decent enough level.
When we talk about A.J. McCarron, Brady, we at least, I do this because I haven't seen him play in a while. You're right. It's been a little bit. We kind of talk around his actual talent. Like, we kind of like theorize. Like, we forget what he is. You're a former quarterback. Can you please, in a nice little package here, like in detail though, arm strength, accuracy, intelligence, and athleticism. Can you paint a more accurate picture than we can? Where is he with all those traits?
Well, look, I think he's a smart quarterback. You got to be when he played at Alabama and Nick Saban's system. He requires that from all his quarterbacks. They've got a lot of responsibilities in regards to the running game, the checks, and handling the line of scrimmage. So he demonstrated that before he ever got to the NFL level. And I think he, again, in the short amount of time he started a few years ago, he showcased that. Doesn't have the strongest arm, but he's got a strong enough arm to make all the throws. I don't think he's going to be able to stretch the field like a Josh Allen per se, the quarterback coming out of Wyoming or anything like that. But again, he can throw down the field well enough. Doesn't possess overly a ton of athleticism. He's not a guy who's really even going to look to run first if that opening comes up. If he moves or if he gets outside the pocket, he's doing it to try to throw and, you know, most likely going to throw the football away if he gets in that situation. You know, outside of that, pretty accurate quarterback. Again, haven't seen a big enough sample size in the NFL to get a good indication of that. And I always go back to this. You know, when he started for the Bengals and went 2-1 as a starter and played all right back in 2015, you know, that was a really good year for the Bengals. And Andy Dalton had one of his best years that year for the Bengals. It's been a different team since. I know Dalton's received kind of some flack, but, you know, that was a really good supporting cast to help make AJ McCarron look good. So, to be quite honest with you, it's hard to get a sense of truly what he is at this point in time in his career.
Okay. I mean, you and Teague will appreciate this as former players, and that's Brady Quinn with us here on Teague and Tierney. It sounds like he just described the guy. He's a guy.
Well, I think the other thing that he could be, a lot of people thought Case Keenum was a guy.
Yeah, right? That's
a good point.
That's all happened last year. I mean, Nick Foles, at one point, was looked at as a franchise quarterback back in 2013. Mm-hmm. Then all of a sudden, he gets traded to the Rams. They think he's a franchise quarterback. That's why they traded for him, and that doesn't work out. And then you watch him kind of bounce around. He contemplates retirement. Next thing you know, he has to be the Super Bowl MVP. But at the end of the day, like, everyone's kind of just a guy.
And yeah.
They get that opportunity, and they take advantage of it, and they can go do something with it. So, look, AJ McCarron's going to get a shot. Now, I think they're going to draft a quarterback either at number 12 overall if they don't move up. But at this point in time, you know, he's going to get the first shot at it until they draft a guy who's going to compete with him.
Okay, there you go. Talking to Brady Quinn, CBSSports.com, football analyst, formerly Notre Dame star, of course, a couple of years in the NFL as well. We'll do the blast next. Just a quick heads up. Saquon Barkley will join us coming up right around 5:35 to 5:40 here on Teague and Tierney.
Excellent.
So good. Looking forward to that.
Hey, Brady, tell me what you think about Kirk Cousins' contract. Now, we've seen we never seen a fully guaranteed contract in the National Football League. It's a short deal, though. And I feel like my sense is this is only going to be available to the quarterbacks. You're the only ones that get the keys to the bank. But what does this mean for the NFL, if anything?
Oh, don't be deceived by that, man. It can be other positions, too. It has to be shorter.
Right? Yeah, exactly.
If you look at all these deals, they're really 1 year or 2 years of guarantees, and the rest is kind of fluff.
Yeah.
You know, it's all actually leveraged on the team side.
You're right.
Where they don't really owe anything to the players. So, look, if players want fully guaranteed contracts, they can do it. They just have to be able to sacrifice not having as much long-term security and then try to maximize the dollars that a team's willing to put on them. So, you know, it's kind of more the basketball model, right? Like LeBron James signs two-year deals, two-year max deals and all that. That's essentially what Kirk Cousins did. And I love it because here's the position he puts the Vikings in. They've got to basically decide after 3 years, depending on how he performs, how he plays, whether or not he's their long-term answer. And maybe he is, maybe he's not. He'll be able to go get more than $28 million a year at that point. And on top of that, if they don't think he's the guy, he hits free agency and all he needs is two teams to create a market.
That's,
so I love it from that perspective because some people would have said, no, do a five-year deal, you know, and then sign that $137.5 million like Jimmy Garoppolo did. That's all irrelevant, man. Like, no one, he's not going to hit those. Instead.
Yeah, I agree.
He's not going to get to that number.
I agree. I only look at the guaranteed money. That's the only thing I ever look at.
Exactly. And so he's you know, it's great. Yeah, to me, it's great. For the future of players and contracts in the NFL and trying to push towards having those fully guaranteed contracts. And really, when it's all said and done, if you look at the last 2 years, he played under 2 one-year deals that were guaranteed contracts. So if you throw it all together, in the end, he's gonna basically earn in the next 3 years and with the last 2 years, about $130 million guaranteed.
Yeah.
Not a bad deal.
And you know what? It was all him earning it. You know what I mean? It wasn't like he had a deal and he underperformed. Because I can't tell you how many times I heard that during my playing career and even now after it. Guy gets paid, he shuts it down. You know, Muhammad Wilkerson's the perfect example, right? These guys, they get paid and it's not as urgent any longer.
Well, look, every case is unique.
Of course.
I think that's part of it. Like, in the case of Mo Wilkerson, I mean, come on, man. That whole thing was crumbling out around him.
No, of course. Yeah, no, but he had some issues. He had some local issues that he just wasn't focused enough on football.
Too. Yeah.
I get that. But look, now he's got an opportunity, right, in Green Bay.
Yeah.
We'll see what he does with it there.
Right.
But at the end of the day, I think it's a great thing for players.
I think it's a great thing for fans, too. And I wanted to step back from some of the specific names and what we just hit on. And just a broad stroke brush, a broad brush or a broad stroke. Help me out, Teak. What am I trying? A broad stroke.
Yeah, stroke.
Of where we are in the NFL right now. They needed this kind of offseason. And quite frankly, as fans, we needed this offseason because it's been about head trauma and declining ratings, and it's been about anthem protests. This almost feels like an NBA offseason where it's about this amazing crop, and I know that we can pick these quarterbacks apart, which we have and which we will continue to do as we get ready for the draft, but like five or six possible first-round picks and Saquon Barkley, who's the next Barry Sanders, Jim Brown, all this incredible player movement. It has been a galvanizing offseason, and the NFL needed this.
Yeah, to some degree, I agree with that.
Hey, you're not feeling me as much on that. Wow. Well, okay, good.
The only thing I'll say to that is I feel like nowadays, like even when there's negative news, it draws more attention to the sport and the league. And honestly, like we have such short-term memories, like we kind of forget about it. Like until you brought up like the whole concussion thing and all that, I was like, yeah, that was something we talked about during the season, but now no one really talks about it anymore.
Because we're talking about something positive.
Exactly, but at the same time, like, did that really hurt ratings? I mean, I think we've seen a spike back in ratings once we got past the election and all that back in 2016. I think people are moving past that. One of the things about ratings that I think people are confused by is the Nielsen rating system itself. Like, if you go back to 2016 when we all thought it was due to the election and we all thought, you know, that the ratings were dropping, they did based on a rating system. But if you actually look at the numbers, 5 million more people watched the NFL back then than they did in years past. So it was growing. What the problem is now people are watching it for not as long. And that's what the ratings are showing us, is people have a shorter attention span with all that. And I don't know if that's a product of the NFL losing some of the audience and all that, or a younger generation, or just the fact that we all tend to have less patience, and if things aren't as competitive, we'll move on to something else quickly. But, I mean, people are still tuning in. I just don't think they stay as long, depending on the competitiveness of the game.
I think that's an astute point, but I mean even bigger than that, and there's always, you could take a 230 hitter in Major League Baseball and say, well, he just hit in a bad luck. I mean, he hit 37 line drives right at somebody. He really otherwise would have been a 280 hitter. I don't doubt that football is far more healthier than it's been positioned. I'm not saying that, and I like that.
I actually do believe that.
That it's
healthier than people want to lead on.
Okay. Yeah.
Well,
no. Okay.
For example, look at the draft.
Yeah.
You know they're sold out for the draft in Dallas. Like that's an event now, man.
Yeah.
Like,
yep.
Before,
same thing in Philly.
We had in New York, right?
Hey.
I sat in that green room for like 5 hours.
Yeah, you did.
And
you did.
That was it. But like now it's an actual event.
Yeah.
People pay to go to the combine. Same thing. Like people watch and cheer on the people doing the bench press now. It's entirely different than what it used to be.
I guess what I'm saying is, Brady, it was even if it was a lazy narrative, it had permeated enough conversations that if you hopped in the middle of some of these conversations, you would truly think the NFL was dying. And we know it's not. We're on the same page. What I'm saying is this offseason has been good because it's been just about football. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, I think both sides probably realized that throughout the course of this past year. And really, the odd thing about the NFL right now is, like, you look at every other professional sports league, by the way, the agents, the players' union, the owners, they all get the, like, nothing works if there's a work stoppage, right? So, like, they all try to work in unison to, like, not spoil the golden goose. And it's just so weird that Goodell and DeMarie Smith kind of take these, you know, different sides, and even how the agents are kind of ostracized in the whole deal. I mean, they're making less on NFL contracts and all that. Like, no one seems to really get along, but I think they all came to a point where they all agreed that, you know, with the anthem protest, because that was one thing that I think everyone kind of came away saying, we got to find a solution, not only one for the players to make sure their message is heard and it doesn't get caught up into, you know, other things and it just being about the protest, not actually about the reason why they're protesting.
Yeah.
And for the owners, obviously, they were getting crushed for losing advertising revenue, right? Because obviously the TV money is getting impacted by that. They're upset with the owners about it. They want them to do something. So you could see why it was a hot-button issue. And I think they will find a solution to it. But, you know, outside of that, I mean, honestly, I feel like it's actually a pretty healthy league. I mean, someone just paid for Thursday night football. Fox did, actually.
Yeah.
And they paid as much as anyone had.
You're right.
I mean, the league's not.
Yeah.
It's not suffering.
You're right.
Right,
and they lose Papa John's and Pizza Hut. They lose Papa John's and Pizza Hut. Steps right in.
Yeah. I mean, and if it's not Pizza Hut, it'll be Domino's. I think it's like someone's always going to slide in and take that. Like I've heard rumors that ESPN might not want to renew the contract for Monday Night Football. I guarantee you, CBS, Fox, someone will pick up Monday Night Football.
Yes.
If ESPN ever wants to give that platform up.
You're right.
Brady, good stuff, man. A lot to think about. Good stuff. Brady Quinn, appreciate you, buddy. Thanks for hopping on, man.
Thanks for having me on, guys. Have a great day.
Be good,
okay,
Brady.
There you go. Ooh, we got a little update here, Mr. Partner.
What's happening?
Miami just scored a late bucket, 62-60. Timeout. All right, Loyola of Chicago down a deuce. They will get the ball. Do they go for the quick? Do they go for the three? Because the shot clock is off. Or do they go for the tie and hope they don't leave enough time for if they make it?
Yeah.
Hope they don't leave enough time for Miami.
I wish we had this on the TV so I could see it.
I know we've got the other. We got to switch channels here during the break. Also. South Dakota State, the Buckeyes tied up at 45 apiece. 18 minutes to go there. Told you Duke smacked Iona, 89-67. Looks like Loyola was fouled because they're down 1 point.
Yep.
62-61. DeSell will give us an update before we get out of here on that. Let you know if it's a make or a miss. Kansas, a winner there. We got Gonzaga squeezing by UNC. Greensboro, 68-64. Tennessee, nicely done over Wright State, 73-47. Rhodey, overtime. Trey Young of the Sooners, done, 83-78. So Coach Hurley, at least one more game with Rhode Island, probably going to bounce somewhere else. Gary Parrish told us probably Pitt.
Yep.
Seton Hall pulling away from NC State now, 46-38. Late in the first half, about a minute and 31 seconds to go in that one. Then we'll have a nice space between Villanova, Radford, and the rest of the game. So, obviously, I can't stall anymore. I guess there's a timeout because the second free throw has not been taken. There you go. I tried.
Yeah.
I tried.
Miami up 62-61.
Hey, you could tell somebody did updates when he first broke in the business. You got to do what you got to do to get in.
I hear you.
You know what I mean? I mean, I was bored out of my mind doing it. I basically launched into an editorial during them. But all right, coming up next, where are we here? You know what? We'll do the blast coming up next. Then Saquon Barkley. How about that? For an outstanding late edition, phenomenal. He just hooked up with Rock Nation, I think,
man.
So he's in the city.
Thank you, Berkowitz, and thank you, Clark.
Berkowitz stepping up big, obviously making the connection. Tiki's good buddy. Burke is awesome, Miami guy. So for his sake, hopefully Loyola misses this free throw. Otherwise, Barkley might not join us. But we will have Saquon Barkley coming up before we get out of here, which is money. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
This is Tiki and Tierney on CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, Tiki and Tierney back here on a crazy Thursday. CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network. Saquon Barkley is going to join us coming up. Next segment. So we had him on, I'd say, maybe a month or so before the Heisman, so maybe early November.
Yeah.
And we could not be more impressed with the young man.
He's such a good young man.
He really is.
Seems like, obviously, he's a great football player.
Yes.
But just a gentleman, good young man. We'll see what happens when he gets where he gets drafted coming in a couple months, or actually a month or so.
It's coming. I'm pretty sure he will not be in the stairwell of a campus building waiting to go into the classroom, which is where he sat as he conducted the interview with you and I, which is amazing. We'll get to the blast here in a sec. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. Obviously, things are getting a little tense out there for the Miami Hurricanes. They are down a bucket, 0.3 seconds to go. Going to heave it the length of the court. Do we have a Christian Laettner moment? We do not. The pass is broken up. And Loyola, moments ago, courtesy of Westwood 1, Dante Ingram, bang.
Here comes Loyola, a chance to win it. Towns into the front court. On the left wing, top to Ingram, 3 for the win. Good! He made it as the buzzer expires. The Loyola players storm off their bench.
Wow.
They're mobbing their teammate.
Woo!
What a shot to win it.
Wow.
64-62 Loyola. And the Ramblers will move on.
Wow. And they actually went back and they tacked on 0.3 seconds.
Yeah, 0.3 seconds. Now what happened there is Lonnie Walker, the fourth, was on the free throw line. He missed a shot. It literally hit the back of the rim, bounced up a couple times, and Loyola got the rebound, went the length of the court, passed it to the wing, flipped it back out to Ingram at the top of the key.
Yep.
He nailed the three-pointer.
I think he was a lefty, right?
Yeah.
Either way,
Miami probably loses because the basket goes down. The same thing could have happened because they would have still won by 1 point. Miami's cursed.
That's amazing.
That's an amazing loss.
That's a tough loss.
Is that what it is? That's a tough one. You got to knock down your free throws.
Is Berkowitz still going to deliver Saquon Barkley?
He better. It's Clark, though. Burke is at home.
I got you. Burke
is
smoking. We just know he's not watching that.
No,
of course
he's
watching his Canes. That was crazy. That was crazy.
Oh, wow. I just got some breaking news from the National Football League. Saints owner Tom Benson has passed away at 90 years old. That's unconfirmed right now, but it's from NFL.com.
Yeah.
Sad news, obviously, down in New Orleans. Tom Benson, long-term owner of the New Orleans Saints, has passed away at 90 years old. He's been in the hospital for about a month or so with pneumonia, I believe. Went in with the flu, then it was pneumonia. But it looks like he has just succumbed to that at 90 years old. Rest in peace.
Well, rest in peace for sure. And you know what? Sign up for 90. I think we all would.
Absolutely.
I think we'd all sign up for 90.
Oh, certainly.
Yeah, rest in peace, no doubt. Tough transition. You want to bang out the blast
here
before
course.
We get Axe update?
Yeah,
do what we got to do. Saquon Barkley after that. Go ahead, guys.
So many topics, so little time. We give you five stories in 5 minutes, but don't take too long or you'll suffer the buzzer. It's time for the blast with Tiki and Tierney.
All righty, here we go there, Tiki. Ndamukong Suh, now a free agent. Earlier this week, this happened. Best landing spot for Suh.
Best landing spot for
Suh? Go back to Detroit. What?
Would he be welcome back there? Maybe.
About 30 cents on the dollar, they pick him up at the limo.
I'm trying to think of the teams airport. That have the most cap space, but are right there. Maybe Oakland.
Oakland could use him.
Could be a slot for him. I'm going to say Oakland because it seems
Raiders,
like they're putting some pieces together around them. Jordy Nelson on that deal. It's not overly punitive.
Mm-hmm.
So they have some, and they just cut Michael Crabtree. So they have some space there. I'd have to fully look. Why don't I say Oakland for
what
now?
What about if the I'd have to see like 3-4, 4-3. I mean, a million different modes with college basketball. Imagine if the Steelers or whomever signed Suh and Honey Badger. I mean, you could literally fix your first and third level in one if you've got the money.
I got to tell you, it's the
Cowboys, Steelers.
Honey Badger is going to be a difference maker wherever he goes.
Oh, yeah.
The one team that's viable for a championship that needs secondary like superstar, it's the Steelers.
They've done nothing in free agency.
No.
All right, the Rams renegotiated wideout Robert Woods' contract to make good on the incentives that he missed out.
This is cool
for being a healthy scratch in Week 17 last season. Should this happen more in the NFL? The answer is, not that you should be forced to do this, but, you know, your moral compass. You have to know your players. You've got to treat them right with integrity. Not only do you do the right thing for the player and his family, but word like that will spread around the league, and you will residually benefit down the road when players that aren't on your team yet, they might say,
right.
You know what, they
Look,
do things right, I want to play for them.
I hated this move at the time, irrespective of Robert Woods getting 19 more yards, which is basically one or two catches in the last game. But Sean McVay decided to rest the Rams players in the last game of the regular season, Week 17, so that they could be rested up for the postseason. We saw what happened in their first postseason game against the Falcons. They played terrible. They were out of sync from the very beginning.
Yep.
So I hated this. I also hated the fact for Robert Woods, he didn't get his bonus, which was $200,000 for getting 1,000 yards. He was 19 yards short, so they gave him a bonus. It's $200,000 and $19. That's his bonus added on to his extension.
Don't buzz it yet because I have a question. Just very quickly, if they didn't do that and Sean McVay said, you know what, I sat you, I'm giving you $200,000 from my pocket. Is that illegal?
That's illegal.
It's a circumvention
of
the cap.
That's illegal.
All right, you just do it under the table. like everything else when you have to get it done. Zach Greinke left his spring training start yesterday with right groin tightness. Now, is Greinke still a top-tier pitcher?
When
he's right, he still has filthy stuff.
Yeah, you're right. So that's why you say he's still a top-tier pitcher. But obviously, as every player, regardless of sport, but picking a baseball, you get old. Things that used to bother you for a little bit and you'd be over it in a week, they don't do so. And you don't get over them as quickly.
Mm-hmm.
It just comes with age. So I'm going to say yes, he still is.
Yeah.
But there's a vulnerability. As with everybody who gets older.
It's not the shoulder. It's not the elbow. That's a starting point. Problem is, right around St. Paddy's Day, that's when you're hitting the final stretch in terms of amping up as a pitcher to be able to go 80, 90, 100 pitches deep. So he's going to have to take a step back from that. This very well could impact almost all of April. So from a fantasy point of view, from their team, watch out for an iffy April. But Greinke, I think, is still pretty good. He's a gamer as well. He can hit. After Tuesday's win, LeBron said, I'm like a fine wine. I get better with age. Is this the best LeBron's ever played? You know, I'm not even going to answer that. I almost did this, but I said, I'm not going to waste my time. I saw something on Instagram, and somebody was holding that, of course, he posted about himself.
Yeah.
Somebody's holding a fan, a sign, basically making him out to be larger than basketball, which on many levels he is.
Yeah.
Dude, stop kissing your own behind. I mean, it's getting weird now. I mean, you've got this strange, sick...
He wants respect, man.
He gets all he gets is respect.
I understand that.
We've been kissing his behind for 15 years. We know you're great. We know you're a good guy. Dude, are you that insecure? Mm. Look at his Instagram account. It's getting weird, man.
He hasn't won an MVP.
Walking into the arena, look at me. Oh, look at what I did. Dude, you're the man. We all know it.
Yeah, I don't disagree. I
had to get that out.
Just drink the wine. Don't talk about yourself in wine.
Didn't mean to hijack that, but I think I spoke for a lot of us here.
Oh, good.
If you weren't hosting the show right now, wow, that is a good one. Where would you be watching the tournament?
Wow,
good
nice, Diesel.
Probably Berkowitz's man cave.
I would be in Berkowitz's man cave.
Right?
Definitely.
And
I would be.
Setup.
Yeah, he does have a great setup, and I'm sure probably whiskey right now.
Whiskey time at 5:33 Eastern?
Yeah, after Miami loses the way that Miami just lost.
Oh, that's right.
It's whiskey time.
You know what you're saying yourself? At least it ain't Virginia. That's what you really had to say. Yeah, I'll give you a shot.
Good
I'll get
point.
Ready for my game. You're toasting the end of your season.
Let's hope that the University of Maryland, Baltimore County doesn't do the same.
Oh, if I wasn't hosting the show, that means I'm not in the business. I'm going to assume that I'm whatever. I'm a lawyer. I'm whatever I'm doing. I'm at a bar. I mean, I'm at a bar with my buddies. I mean, if I'm not a college basketball coach, which I said I would pursue, I mean that. You know that. I'd be in a bar with my buddies, having drinks, watching hoops, stumbling home whenever I stumbled home, and probably getting trouble for my wife.
I guarantee you a lot of people are either at work or doing whatever they're doing,
yep.
And they're watching CBS Sports app.
No, or CBS Sports Network.
Or
really
app.
Watching
and
us.
You have to work. Get it on your phone.
That's true.
Stick it up on the app.
It is a good app.
It's a great
solid
app. Solid.
Yep.
Time's up. The blast is over for another day.
Okay, don't want to waste a whole lot of time. Saquon Barkley will join us next. Will he go first? Will he go second? Can't wait to have the conversation with him.
This is Tiki and Tierney on CBS Sports Radio.
March Madness is here. In case you didn't hear, tune in all week. TBS, TNT, CBS, and True TV on the go with March Madness Live. Or listen, Westwood One. That's where you get all your action. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network. So, Tiki and I were comparing brackets during the break. And let's see. Tiki is trending to go 6 of 8.
Yep.
You have the only two games that are in progress. You've got NC State. They're down by 10 at the half.
Yep.
I've got Seton Hall in that game. We both have the Buckeyes. They're up by 9.
Yep.
7.5 to go. They should hang on, although you never know. I mean, 9 isn't insurmountable. The one difference, I had Loyola. I was right with that. And and Tiki had Miami, but he had
Rhode Island.
Rhode Island, who won it overtime. I had the Sooners, so I lost that. All in all, I think I'm tied for 71st in our Tiki and Tierney bracket challenge.
That was our former winner.
He's 6 for 6.
6 for 6.
Schreiber, right?
Schreiber.
Chris?
6 for 6.
But he's got two brackets. This is what I found interesting. A lot of people put in multiple brackets.
Yeah,
I didn't. I just did one.
You could put up to 3.
Up to 3.
In our Tiki and Tierney challenge.
I was going to mess around with a second, but then you just do everything goofy, and then invariably one looks like idiotic. So I'm like, I'm just going to go with what I think is going to happen.
Agreed. That's exactly what I did. I did it one time, and that was it. And I did it pretty quickly, too.
You did?
Because there were some upsets that I kind of felt like could happen. And my second round, I have Nova losing in the second round.
You have them losing to Vatek or Alabama?
Vatek.
I mean, it's not inconceivable.
No. It's probably not going to happen, but as you go through a bracket, anytime you're doing a bracket, you're like, all right, I'm going to pick an upset. Now I feel like picking an upset. All right, I got to do an upset here.
Mm-hmm.
So I did an upset.
No, I don't think it's crazy. I've been saying for a couple of months now, as much respect as I have for Villanova and Jay Wright.
Yeah.
I don't think they're a vintage Villanova team, despite their number one seeding. I've said that all year.
Yep.
I'm impressed, but there's just a little. I think it's on defense. We'll see.
Yeah.
You know. So you've got that. Let me see here. You don't want to know what I have. I've got Creighton beating Virginia.
Do you?
I got Creighton beating.
I know you said that.
Of the injury to your guy.
I knew you said that earlier in the week that they have some shooters though.
Yeah.
They have a couple. Their backcourt is really good.
They can score.
Creighton, they can score. I don't even have them getting past Kansas State.
Okay. Well, listen. So. Let's put this on hold here because while we're not going to talk about Penn State basketball because they're not playing in the NCAA tournament, we certainly by extension talk about Penn State football, most specifically or more specifically, talking about Saquon Barkley, who was. About to join us here. They're just putting him on, connecting him through. Oh, he's getting in a quiet room. There you go. D-Cell gave me the premature. We got him. That's okay. See, that's what you got to deal with. Who looks bad? The guy in front of the camera. This is what I see on the other side. We got him. All right, let me transition to my head. We've got Saquon Barkley. And I see him like, oh, we don't have him yet. He went to a private room, a quiet room. It's all good.
Yeah, he's been bouncing around the city all day with the Rock Nation guy.
How much do you think And we'll ask him. Mm-hmm. But how much do you think he's really thinking about going first? He's got to think about it every day.
I mean, it's one of those dreams that doesn't happen for non-quarterbacks any longer, right? Maybe if you're a D end or tackle.
Yeah,
maybe.
A couple years ago,
those
two stiffs.
People will tell you, we can't take a running back, or just like a Nelson with Notre Dame. We can't take a guard at number 3 or 4. Yeah. It's too high. It doesn't fit the draft. But that's your dream, man, right? When you're a kid.
This is a dream.
Win the Heisman, go number 1 overall.
Wow, you guys are just different. I mean, and that's why you were pro athletes. I just dreamt of getting drafted. Like, if the Yankees or the Rangers or the Royals called me and said, we just drafted you in the 37th round, that would have been my dream.
Yeah,
this guy's talking about winning the Heisman.
No, it changes.
And going first.
I wasn't thinking about winning the Heisman until I was actually good. So it wasn't until my last year at college.
Why don't we have you as the running back introduce a future star in the NFL?
Yeah, look what's up there, Maris BT.
Oh, look at this guy.
Yeah, we won't waste any time on Brandon Tanny. We're gonna spend our time with maybe the first round, first overall pick in the NFL draft coming up in a couple months. Saquon Barkley, who is a stud at Penn State, you all know him by now. We saw him at the combine, and he's joining us now on Tiki and Tierney. Saquon, how you doing, man? Thanks for taking some minutes and jumping on with us.
Hey, how you guys doing? Thanks for having me again.
We are good.
Our pleasure.
How's your day been? I talked to Berkowitz earlier today. He said you were running around the city doing a bunch of different things. How's your day been?
It's been amazing. You don't even understand. I just got done actually meeting Curtis Martin.
Yeah.
I was a big Jets fan growing up, and we respect his game and respect him as a person, and just able to play him in chess. So I just picked up chess, started learning how to play chess, and I'm not gonna lie to you guys. He put a whooping on me. He kind of toyed with me a little bit. But just told me I got a lot more work to do to become a better chess player. But just be able to sit down with a guy like that and be able to listen to the knowledge and the wisdom that he was giving me, not only to be a better player, but to try to continue to have impact on people's life, was definitely something I will continue to strive to be and strive to be a better person. And like I said, you guys don't understand, my dad only really understand how much that conversation meant to me. And even though it was so small, so little, it really did have a big impact on my day and my life.
Yeah, no, I got to tell you, Saquon, he was obviously a contemporary of mine when I was here. He was with the Jets when I was with the Giants. He is the most humble, down-to-earth superstar you can ever imagine. He wasn't a guy that anyone ever noticed until you noticed him. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? He'd sit in the room, he'd be bespoke, looking sweet in the
Always
corner.
Look good.
And then you go talk to him. He's as impressive as any person you could ever meet. And the same thing applied when he was on the football field. Did he tell you anything about the game and the NFL as different to what you played in college and what to expect when you get to your first training camp, wherever it is?
Yeah, he was just preaching that stick to your basics and stick to what got you there. And that's work ethic. He was telling me how he was almost the first guy and almost the last guy to leave every time. And his work ethic and how his passion and his drive and competitiveness made him not only a better person, but a better player on the field. And he was also giving me tips about just the little things in the league, stuff that you'll get away in college that you may not get away with in the NFL. Yeah. Like, you might be the fastest guy on the field in college, but in the NFL you may not be. And understanding the position of the running back and being patient in the game and even running routes, how to set your routes up to create more separations. And he was just giving me a lot of tips and just – really helping me, my mental part of the game, and just helping me grow as a player there. And like I said, Curtis Martin, he's humble as heck, and he's one of the greatest running backs to ever play, over 14,000 career rushing yards, and a lot of people don't even speak about that. So
yeah.
I would be a fool not to sit there and take his advice and the advice he gives me to the game to help add to my game.
This is interesting. Saquon Barkley with us here on Tiki and Tierney. Saquon, I am a diehard Jets fan who used to have season tickets back in the day at the old stadium. And the Jets are at the sixth spot. So nobody thinks that Saquon Barkley is going to be sitting in the green room when the Jets are on the board at number six. So I got a tough question for you. Given your affinity for Curtis Martin and the Jets, would you be okay if you somehow miraculously dropped down to six and wound up on the Jets? Or is it more important to go atop the draft board to a different team, but go higher, maybe first overall?
I mean, you never know what could happen in a draft. From watching the draft and following NFL closely, anything can happen in the draft. But to me, it's not where I get drafted that matters to me, to be completely honest. So the way I look at it, whether I'm one or if I fall to the Jets, or if I fall even past the Jets to the 20th pick, yeah, even if I fall to the seventh round, it wouldn't have an impact on me because – like I said, I've been told the same before. I've been talking to GMs and talking to coaches, and I can't promise you a rookie of the year. I can't promise you 2,000 yards. I can't promise you this amount of touchdowns. But the one thing I can promise you is you're going to have a guy that's going to come in and who's passionate about the game and who can continue to grow. And to continue to grow, be a better leader, and someone who's going to work. My work ethic is not going to change. And to me, it don't matter where you get drafted. I look at it as a blessing.
Yeah.
Any team that that blesses you with the opportunity and gives you the opportunity to achieve your dream and live out your dream, you gotta be blessed for the opportunity and thankful for the opportunity. So to me, it doesn't matter where I go. I'm just going to continue to have the same mindset and continue to work on myself as a player and as a person and continue to grow through that.
Now, the last time we saw you, Saquon, it was at the Combine, and we all watched it. Your workout was unbelievable with the 40 time, the bench press. You did 29 reps. And out on the field, you looked as comfortable as any running back we've seen in the last few years. How did you feel out there at the Combine when all of these peers, these guys you've either played against, you've heard about on the college level, and you kind of outshone most of them? You were one of the talks of the Combine.
Yeah, I mean, the way I felt about the Combine, obviously, I got a lot of attention from the Combine. I do feel like that in some of the events that I participated in, I could have done better. I've done better. And just little things like in my 40 to 140. I stumbled. I got to have a better start in the first one. Just little things that can help me get a better time in that area. Which,
what do you think you can run it in, by the way, Saquon? What can you run it in? 4.4 is not fast enough, apparently. What can you run it in?
To be completely honest, if you watch the film with the 40, and if you're like a true track coach or a true 40 coach.
Yep, I ran track when I was in high school and in college, yeah, so I know it.
I had an awful start on both of mine. Both of my things. So I'm consistently in the 4.2s and 4.3s.
Yeah.
I've been clocked in
4.2s.
I've been clocked laser at 4.29. So I was expecting anywhere from a 4.29 to the 4.3s.
Wow. Like a superhero.
My starts weren't really that good. But I can't complain.
Yeah.
At 2.30, 4.4 flat, wow. One of the top 40s out of running backs. Probably the most impressive at my size, so I can't complain with that. But on the field workouts, I was very happy with that. I wasn't satisfied. I'm never satisfied with anything. But
yeah.
I wanted to look fluid catching the ball. I wanted to look fluid in my routes. I wanted to look fluid during the drills and look comfortable. But I play running back, which I've been doing for my whole life. But I wanted to kind of separate myself in those areas, and I think I was able to do that. But a lot of people love to talk about the on-the-field part of the Combine, and that wasn't my best part, to be honest with you. My best part, I thought, was the interviews.
Of course.
I was able to go in there and talk to teams. My parents and high school coaches and college coaches and teammates did a really good job of keeping me in check and making sure I didn't get in trouble. So I didn't have any baggage to talk about. It was just strictly getting to know me, getting to know my understanding of the game, getting put on the board. I felt like when I was on the board, I felt very comfortable. I felt that you could ask me any questions. I can draw up the six-man protection. I could draw some coverages, some blitzes. You could teach me your blitz pickup and show me some film, and I come right back to it and pick it up like I've been doing it for a while. And that's why I think that I excelled at the most. And actually, I want to continue to grow because that's obviously, I'm a fan of the game and fan of running backs. And that those guys are able to see the field differently, like the Marshall Faulks and those guys are just at a whole other level. And I don't want to just be average. I don't want to be good in NFL. I want to be one of the best. And, it's easier said than done. And I can't promise that, but I know that I can promise that I'm going to come in and I'm going to work my butt off and I'm going to push myself and push my teammates every single day to try to be the best that I could possibly be and be the best I could be for my team.
Yeah, no, we can see that. We can tell that from the man that you are. The first time you talked to us, you were sitting in the stairwell getting ready to go to class. And now hearing you now and hearing what you're focused on, I can tell that you're going to be a star. We got to bounce, Saquon. But we want to wish you nothing but great luck in the draft, success going forward. And as you mentioned Marshall Faulk there, here's one thing he always told me. Be the quarterback's second quarterback. Right. If you can be that, then you can play every down.
It sounds like he can. It seems like he knows a lot.
Hey, be good and good luck, Saquon.
Awesome, man.
Yes, sir. Thank you, guys. I appreciate you guys.
Thank you, pal. And high five to both of your parents.
No doubt.
Because that's a joint team effort to raise somebody like that.
Yeah, you're right.
Wow. Ran a 4.4. He's not even happy.
4.29?
I was out of the gates. I was atrocious.
4.29.
He's special, man. He's just a special kid.
I ran close to that when I was 175 pounds.
An old, nobody cares about you. You finished. We're on to Saquon Barkley at this point. See you tomorrow, guys.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.